Thank you all for coming and joining us this afternoon. I hope this is going to be a time of sharing perhaps new images that maybe you haven't seen in terms of India, what India is like, for those of you who have perhaps not been there. And for those of you who have been, have visited us in India, you'll be able to see a little bit of what we have been doing over the last few years, how we've progressed and how we've developed. We're going to have different members of our Indian Sangha come up and share with you different aspects of our work in India. And we're also going to show you a video, a 13-minute video, which will give you also an idea of what we're doing. Now, I will say that the video that we're going to share is going to show you Ananda Sangha India as of, let's say, 2018, 2019. Because what you see isn't how it has always been, obviously. We've developed, we've evolved, and that evolution and that development is continuing, and I might even say accelerating, that it's going faster and faster and things are changing. But this work in India has been something that was envisioned from, you could say, from the very beginning of our existence as Ananda Sangha, as Ananda in America. When Swami, as you know, his past, he had spent some years in India before he was separated from SRF. And he left India not of his own volition at that time. He was prevented in the early 60s from going back to India, and he had a great, great fondness for India. It was part of him, and he had always felt that he had lived past lives in India, and he had recollected how Master had wanted to send him to India when Master was alive. That was not able to happen during Master's lifetime, but of course it did after, as he served as Vice President for Self-Realization Fellowship. But when he began Ananda in the late 1960s, the Indian cultural spiritual tradition was very much alive in the early Ananda community. Now, Swamiji, he had that fondness and he carried it over. He traditionally, daily, when certainly in the ashram here at the village and up at the meditation, he typically wore Indian clothing, wore dhoti, kurta. He often ate most Indian food. He cooked for himself. When we did our various functions, we included Indian traditions, the Indian bhajans, which he sang marvelously, and with Indian chanting, and it was so part of our tradition. And Swamiji, in those early days, he invited many, many, many spiritual teachers from India as they were passing through the United States to speak there. Swami Satchidananda, Swami Chidananda, Swami Hridayananda, Amar Jyoti, who has an ashram there in Pune, and there's Keshav Das, the great singer from India, many, many more. That's probably only a fraction. They would come through and they would share. And so it was part of our tradition, our upbringing, you might say, as young members of Ananda community. But as time went on, Swami himself realized we needed to broaden out our appeal beyond just that segment of the spiritual community, the yoga community that was developing in America at that time. And so we always maintained that aspect in our private cultural traditions within the community, but publicly we've broadened it out more to the mainstream in America, reaching out more broadly that way. But it was always something in Swami's heart that thought, when people would ask him, Swamiji, when are we going to build our work in India? And he's not yet. And he, of course, would make regular forays back to India, visits and visiting Ananda Mohima and so on. And that was going on over the years. And then a time came I believe it was in the 1980s, where he asked two couples, Asha and David and Durgan Vidura, to begin leading pilgrimages to India. Others led as well, but they were very regular, yearly, bi-year, every other year, they would take pilgrimages to India, and Swamiji told them, he says, I want you to do it. said, why don't others do it as well? No, no, you do it consistently, because then you will build friendships. You will make connections, and you will get to know people. They will get to know you. And so you could see he was setting the foundation socially, making contacts, getting people acquainted with India at that time, even back in the 1980s at that time. But to actually do a work there, we had our hands full. And one of those, of course, was spreading the work here in America. And from America, eventually in the 1980s, we spread to Europe. And as you heard the story explained recently, we ended up and went to Italy. But it was, I don't know, I heard this in about maybe 1990, 91, right in there. Swami said it was important to go to Italy, and he felt that Italy would be the doorway to India. Rather than from America going to India, he felt we would go through Italy. Because if you know those cultures, there's a certain, Italy's kind of a halfway, you might say, in certain ways, very devotional. India's very devotional. A little hectic in Italy. India's hectic. That's a nice way of saying it, isn't it? And you could see their heart cultures. And so we began the work in Italy. And of course, then you heard the story of how that spread then. Ultimately, we received that Swami felt divinely guided to take that message over to India. Now, we landed in India up in the NCR, which is National Capital Region, meaning Delhi and the environs around there. And I think that was significant because Swamiji had been trying to start a work in India when he was given the exit from SRF, and it was because of his attempts to start that work. You could say that chapter ended there, and when we went back, it was to restart it there. And he felt to start a work there at that time, it was important because being the national capital, that he felt was significant, to be in the national capital and to represent Ananda from that platform. And so we began there. But now we have four centers in the national capital region of Delhi and its suburbs about it. And we've then expanded to other major metros. And it's been our intention, and certainly has been and continues to be intentions, that ultimately we'll have teaching centers in the major metros. We cannot go to every small city. I mean, obviously, huge population base there, but we have limited resources, but we'll probably, in the years to come, continue to fill out for the major metros. We're in most of them right now. And from there, then, we reach out in other ways, other mediums, to the rest of the country. But as something occurred to me as we were, and I tend to be involved in outreach and that sort of aspect of our work, and I was reminded by something that Dharmadas said today. When we look back and we look at Swami's life, and we look at Master's life. Master, take for example, Avatar. He had a world mission. He reached, his perspective was on history itself, the coming history, and how the world itself, the changes it was going through. So he had the perspective that was vast. And so I can imagine him writing the autobiography of a yogi to reach that vast audience. But just recently, and I think of this, it came to me, I was reading some letters that he had written to devotees in those days in India. And they were very personal. You should do this and this and this in your daily life. Very detailed, little small things. So here he was, an avatar with a world mission, but he did not forget, and he did not exclude also the very small personal touch of one person at a time. And this is what Dharmadas was referencing this to Swami as well. And we take it to heart ourselves, and I have to remind myself, yes, we're trying to reach, as Swamiji said, our mission is to spread the name and teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda in the land of his birth to make it better known And we can think out there, but you cannot forget, and I remind myself and we remind one another, this happens soul by soul by soul, individual soul, that widow that we're helping in Vrindavan, that person that comes for initiation, for discipleship or kriya, person asks us a question that they write in. And sometimes you think, I'm too busy for that. But we can never be too busy for the small individual query, because that's how we reach all of India, is through one person at a time. And this is how Master was, and yes, this is how Swami was, and this is something we remind ourselves also. So we're doing, I feel, a great work there. We're doing, or I hope we're doing a great work. We try to do a good, at least a good work. And I hope it someday it reaches many, many, many souls. And I feel it will, because Master's vibration is going out. People recognize that, and they feel that. And Swami, too. Swami's greatly respected, and it was a great, great saint recognized as such in India. And so we'd like to share a little bit about that today. And I'm going to be calling individuals up to share different aspects of that. But we're going to begin by first doing a video presentation. You know, maybe I'm not. Bara's coming up here and telling me something.
I'm sorry, I have small technical difficulty. Okay. Not from the team, but from my end. I'm in a little more time.
How much is a little?
10 minutes.
Okay, well then I'm gonna call some of our panelists up or to share a little bit. And when Bara is when you gotta have to come out and tell me when we're ready. Okay. And so let's see. I'm going to ask Aditya Ji and to come now. Aditya serves in Pune as a spiritual director of our center in Pune, which includes two pieces of property, or two, a city center and a center out in the country. And also joining him are going to be Brahmacharini Blezi and Gaurav. And Gaurav's Aditya also serves as a trustee for the Ananda Sangha Trust. Gaurav serves as our do-it-all manager of the trust. I didn't know that. And he's not the do-it-all. She is the do-it-all. She is the do-it-all. And I like to think, because they, you know, I like to think of them as my right and left hand, because they basically do the work, and I just, you know, sort of go along for the ride with them. So I'm going to turn it over for them, so please. They're going to be speaking about the trust, and...
Okay. The video is just typical of India. It's not working. Hectic, very hectic. So namaste everyone, my name is Gaurav, and I'll be speaking a little bit, just overview of what we're doing in India, and then all our other wonderful speakers will come and share particular aspects of, you know, what we're doing in India. So I want to start by just saying, you know, that in India, what, you know, the work is going at a very great pace, you know, lots of exciting things will happen, you'll hear about it. But underlying all of it, I was just thinking about it just a little while ago. There is really a sense of community. You know, we don't have a physical community, at least in a rural setting, you know, like all of you have here. We mostly have the urban centers, you know, in the various cities. But in thinking about it, you know, we have the different centers, but then, you know, the challenge is always to kind of tie them all together, you know. And in the US, Swami did that perfectly. You know, all the center leaders, mostly who are right now in the colonies in the United States, they were at one point living together, you know, they kind of grew together, they formed friendships. And now, you know, they're all over the US, you know, in Europe as well. And in India also, it's interesting as we think back that when Swamiji landed in 2004, we rented a big house, it was almost like a mansion, in which, you know, we had lots of rooms, and most of our center leaders in the various cities right now were living in that one house. You know, so it all began from that one house where we formed those friendships, that sense of community, and now, you know, like it's happened everywhere else, we are all, you know, all over the place. But how do we keep it together? So I want to just talk briefly about that. You know, we are, like, we have the church here, which has the various departments, you know, under it, outreach and, you know, everything else. In India, legally, we also are, you know, legal entity. But unlike the US, all the centers, everything that we do in India right now is under one legal entity. So it's a big kind of task to keep it all together. And thankfully, you know, we have over the years developed a team that looks after those aspects. There's about 8 of us represented from 6 different centers. So you can just see that, you know, it's not like we're sitting in one office. We're in 6 different cities, but working together, you know, on the legal stuff, on the accounting, on the administration of just making things work. We also have an outreach team. Now, what this team does basically, and I think in one sense all of us who will be coming up today, we are part of that team, is that how do we share with people who are not in our centers? You know, we have our centers in all the major metros, but how do we reach people beyond the centers? So I have this interesting statistic for you. Because, you know, with God's grace, over the past 4 or 5 years, we've been able to, with the help of generous donors, go out, you know, and teach, which is what Swami wanted, in addition to all the centers and the meditation groups. So in the last 4 years, since 2015, there's about 60 of us, which includes all the center leaders, Kriyacharya, staff, meditation teachers, yoga teachers, 60 of us who've taken, I mean, this is, I just like to brag about it. We've taken, it's just such a fun figure, you know, working with numbers, it's like you have to use these sometime. So we've taken 450 flights across India, and we've covered 19 cities where we've gone and done outreach, you know. So that's the scope, only in the last 4 years, you know. I mean, we've been there for 15 years, but just to see that it's just, you know, picking up. Also, just to again show you how, you know, in the video you'll see, soon see a map of India and, you know, where all the different centers are. And I'm seeing time here, so I'm going to close very soon. But, you know, for example, Dharmraj and Dharmini, they are our center leaders in Chennai, but they also travel around India to train our music ministry. You know, our publications is headed in Delhi, but devotees across India help in translating Swami's book into regional languages. You know, we have people, you know, Arivan and Ishani are there. They're moving to India. They will be serving in Delhi, but we'll be, again, having them travel around India, doing promotions, making videos. Blazy, I, Salil, some of you know him. He's even come to the village, helped with Facebook. So just to say that we are living in our different centers, but we come together, you know, and we try to help the larger work and Master's mission. So just wanted to share that. And now I'll call Aditya and Blazy to share some more things on the outreach front. Thank you.
Thank you, Gaurav. Okay. So I'll speak just for a couple minutes on 3 major activities that have happened, 2 which we did last year and 1 which is an ongoing effort. My name is Aditya. And one was, some of you probably heard of a music concert we did. This was last year. And there were many reasons for that. Actually, it was conceived 2 years before that as we were thinking of what to do on Master's 125th birth anniversary, which was last year. And as it happens, there was a very big team which was thinking about this. So the theme of concert came and somebody said, let's do a fundraiser for Pune. And it didn't feel right. I said, no, we have something, a great work happening in Brindavan. And it's slightly off the map. I said, let's do something for Brindavan. It's the widow welfare work. You'll see the video in the video. And he said, it associates very naturally for, you know, charitable work. So let's do a fundraising for that. Then Swamiji's book, Art as a Hidden Message, was still not available in India. And the performers who were coming for this concert are 2 of the most highly regarded musicians in India. So we got them both. One of them agreed to launch Swami's book. You'll see it in the video. The other launched Swamiji's art, which was the first formal art exhibition we've had of him. So then the concert began. We raised money. 0.8 million rupees was given to this beautiful charitable work. Many people have started also going from Pune to see the work because we had to speak about it in the beginning to talk to corporates and all. We also, friends, through this exercise, and it was interesting, in his autobiography, Master gave 4 dedicated pages to Indian classical music. So one of my thoughts was I want to understand what is Indian classical music. So anyway, we did that exercise. Salil, who helps us with promotion, was able to learn new ways of advertising because we had raised plenty of money to do that kind of promotion. So that was one event. Then, starting this year, we had a promise which was unfulfilled for 2 years when Blazy had last come to the US. The Be the Change movement had asked for help, and over there we said, how can we do it? So we decided to do, we said, how can we be the change, first of all? And our team was feeling that, okay, we meditate, we do yoga, but do we exercise enough? And then the thought was, people who exercise and swim and hike, do they, have they tried meditation and yoga? So we did a walkathon called Be the Change Walkathon, and that brought in, the concert brought in about 2,500 people live. The walkathon was 1,600 people, of which 1,400 were coming for the first time. And now we are seeing people from both the events even take Kriya, and has been a wonderful exercise. The last minute, we also share in corporate circles, and Swamiji, as you know, wrote books, Art as a Art of Supportive Leadership, and Material Success Through Yoga Principles. Again, totally by the Master's grace, we one day got a call from TMTC, Tata Management and Training Center. Now, training has been happening for over a decade, corporate training, but this time they have forged a relationship which has now run into about 80 paid workshops over the last 3 years. And Tata is one of India's biggest corporate houses, known for dharmic principles. So anyway, with them, through the Indian Army, we've been sharing, and it has been our great honor. Teams have now formed in Delhi, Gurgaon, Mumbai, and Pune to do this, and we are soon going to start training other teams in other cities.
Thank you, friends, and namaste. I'm Blazy, and I'll speak about Ananda Yoga as part of our outreach. And we talk of India as the birthplace of yoga, and we think we know that we know yoga. And yes, we do know, but we do also need a refresher. And Ananda Yoga brings that refreshing vitality and depth to that ancient practice of Hatha Yoga, even in India. It's not uncommon that when you walk into a classroom, you will sometimes find students who are looking for a workout, a fitness routine. And on the other hand, you have people who want to be challenged. No matter what physical challenges they may face, they believe that yoga is about contorting your body into all kinds of postures. And so they're not happy with the simple postures. So no sooner than you say Vrikasan, they immediately go all in one breath. So it takes, but over a few classes, they begin to appreciate the importance, the value of pauses, they integrate the affirmations better, and more importantly, they learn to use the breath in infusing that flow of energy into their body, mind, and spirit. Now, it was Nayaswami Tushti who sowed the seeds of Ananda Yoga in India. Jayadev also offered classes in teacher training, and Lata was one of those earlier students. Lata leads the Ananda Yoga School in India. And but Nayaswami Tushti, she started yoga teacher training classes, and Bara here and Aditya ji, they are some of our earlier students. We had to share the teachings, and the first step was to have teachers. And from there, about 3 years ago, we started the Ananda School of Ananda Yoga School of India. And from here on, the progress has been rapid and very steady. We have a total of 78 internationally certified yoga teachers in the national capital region of Delhi and Noida, and in Mumbai and Pune. And many of these teachers are very active in their centers, offering sadhana through the week, morning and evening sadhana, special workshops. We offer teacher training in basic asanas, advanced pranayams, chair yoga, restorative. Last year, we introduced antenatal yoga. So it's been flourishing, and it's been a great wave of energy. On the International Day of Yoga, we reached over 700 people across the army, government institutions, corporates, fitness studios, yoga studios, colleges. And it's a wonderful expression in India right now. And the next step for us is to take it to Master City in Kolkata. And Lata, who leads the work in yoga in India, is very spirited and keeps it focused and enthusiastic. But all this, I want to say, would not be possible without the dedicated, committed efforts of all our senior acharyas here. Especially, I want to mention Naya Swami Bhajana, who has been visiting India every year for the last 3-4 years and offers these trainings every year. Tracy visited Mumbai last year. And the high point of our outreach in yoga has been Naya Swami Gyandevji's visit last year. And it was a visit greatly appreciated in India. We had 2 public talks in Delhi and Mumbai. And prior to the public talks, we had webinars online for 3 months. 1 talk every month for 3 months. And we had over 100 live registrations for these talks. So our heartfelt gratitude to Gyandevji, Bhajanaji, Tracy, and all of the acharyas who are here who share their blessings and good wishes for India in this time of expansion and progress. Thank you.
We're now going to, I think we could probably leave it down there. We're going to have video now. We're ready to roll. So if Bara would, we could turn the lights down. And Bara can begin. Yeah, that's not bad. Bara, this video was produced by Bara and Shamini, who they stay in Pune, and they're part of our promotional team.
The spirit of Ananda is one of family and friendship. And a divine friendship at that.
Ananda to me is friends working towards a common goal of perfection.
Heaven on earth.
Inner freedom. Family.
Harmony, cooperation, and divine friendship in all that we do.
Ananda is a place of kindness.
Ananda is home.
Ananda is home!
Ananda is joy.
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 Joy!
Thank you.
Hail, thou mother of religions, lotus, scenic beauties, and great sages. Thy doors are open wide to welcome God's true sons from every corner of the earth, where Ganges, woods, Himalayan caves, and men dream God. I am hallowed, my body touched that sod.
Namaskaram, my name is Dharmini from Ananda Chennai, and Dharmarajan and myself and Prasanna are going to be speaking about the centers. And I just have to say, after watching that video, you can just breathe. There's just a relief of how wonderful things are going in India. It's a true reflection of how things are going. And Dhyanaji the other day mentioned our beginnings in Gurgaon, and many of us were there. As Gaurav was saying, Dharmarajan and I were there for 4 years. What I remember so well was Diana and Jaya's going out continuously to help break into the towns around. And Dharmadas was there as, you know, the leader at the time. But that team of people going through, plus help, always training people, going to these cities, that's the only reason why we now have centers in all of these cities, because of their tremendous guidance and help. When we were starting Ananda Chennai, they came very often and gave advice, gave, you know, we could ask anything we want anytime. That type of leadership, which I feel is passed down from Jyotishji and Deviji, it's open. It listens to others, it works. And that is also why Ananda India feels like such a wonderful thing. They also have pushed us. You know, when we were in our small little apartment, we arrived, we were in what's called a 3BHK, which is, it has a living room, which is called a hall in India, and one kitchen that we got to share with our Sangha, as well as ourselves. One bedroom was used for the bookstore, and two were our little private area, our office and our bedroom, that we had a little curtain that we could hide into when it wasn't our turn to teach. And so we started from that, and Diana was saying, so how many are coming for your Kriyas? And we said, well, you know, 35 in the beginning, but we're kind of getting too big for that, the people. But, you know, our classes are not exceeding that amount and that type of stuff. And then a little bit later, she said, I really feel you should get a bigger place. You're growing out of your Kriya space, right? And we were thinking, well, maybe in a year or two. But no, it was the right time. And so we began looking. We did had our groups looking at all of the local houses, finding options. In fact, the first option we ever got turned out to be the option, which is a house owned by a devotee that comes to Chennai, and her father owns that house. It turned out to be the perfect house, and he redid it for us. This is kind of what I think all of the centers have had to go through in terms of finding a place. And now we're finding we're growing out of that place as well. We're thinking of building another floor on the top, which the place was approved for, so that we can have a big temple on the top. So this type of help, this type of leadership was very important for us, especially in the beginning. They came often. Now, from Gurgaon, we split in half in, I think, 2009 or so, from Gurgaon to Gurgaon and Pune. And it was a little rough at first. You know, it wasn't easy to split the amoeba and be separate from each other, but it was done, and so much energy went over there. It really was transferring everything that was learned in Gurgaon, all the difficulties we've gone through. I think as Americans, we probably made every mistake in the book. And learned through those mistakes, even how to address someone who's older than you, what to call things. It's not just about technicalities like that. India is a very intuitive country. If you do not come from your heart, if you do not come from sincerity, people know it like that. If you're just performing, people know it like that. They're not going to want to listen. And so just everybody coming together in that way, learning how to be in the Bhav of India, in Gurgaon. Then we split. Then we had Gurgaon and Pune. And then over time, Bangalore started, Chennai started. And these all had the prerequisite of Jayandiana or Dharmadas or others coming to those cities, giving lectures, building a group of devotees who were interested, at least, doing classes without a center there, finding, okay, time to have a center. And then lately, well, Ahmedabad is a meditation group, I think, but Ananda Pune is a shining star now also. So it's just been a great pleasure. It's an honor to serve in India. It feels like our dharma to be there. I think everybody who's in India feels that way. It feels very much like a family. There are not politics, I would say. You know, in some places you'll find politics. I'll just leave it at that. I won't go into descriptions of what it can be. But it's not there. There's a sense of family. When we get together, there's just joy seeing each other's faces together. And Kartikeyanji has been an incredible help, and Piaji and Daljeetji. We're just so grateful that we all get to be a family together. Okay, so thank you so much.
Namaste. I'm Prasanna. I was asked to talk about how many people now are flocking to the centers to serve full time there. And I think I should talk about why first. When I joined Ananda, I was already, I had read the autobiography 16 years ago, and for 10 years, no less, was trying to figure out these teachings on my own, just trying to read them from a book, and it did not work. And a very dear friend of mine who had joined Ananda a few months before me decided to rescue me from my predicament. So he had met Dharmarajan and Dharminiji, and Jyotish and Deviji were coming. So he said, come to the public talk. I have been here. This is a great group. This is wonderful. So I came in, and after the talk, he said, come on, let's go meet Jyotish and Deviji. I said, you said they are the worldwide directors. So we get to meet them just like that? Because I've been in ashrams all across India, and it never happens that way. You have to wind your way through the ashram bureaucracy to finally get a glimpse of the leaders. But this, I just walked over and he introduced me, and Jyotishji and Devi said, oh, you are Prasanna, we are so glad to meet you. And I said, really? Again, this is all new. And my friend just patted me on the shoulder and said, you'll get used to it. So I just remembered Master in one of his talks said, I didn't think such a fellow feeling was even possible. That's how I felt. I didn't think such a large family would be waiting to invite. That inclusiveness, that wonderful culture that was already present when I came was so beautiful that I immediately felt I want to be a part of this family. That is why people come. Because as Shivaniji was saying, seva is joy. And why is it joy? Because it helps us, as Swamiji often says, to forget ourselves. And I wanted to share this same fellow feeling that I felt from Jyotish and Deviji that day, that they welcomed me so wonderfully into the fold, to all who come through the door. When they come in, they don't want to hear what are the courses, what are the fees, what are the things. No, they want to see a smiling face that I saw. So that was what the first teaching was, to present to them a smiling face, welcoming them with open arms and saying, come and see what we have to offer, and which is our hearts. That is what Swamiji offered us. And he modeled two things. One was the perfect discipleship that he had with Master. The other was the divine friendship that he gave to all. And this is what makes us enthusiastic to serve at Ananda. We want to be the models of the perfect discipleship that he offered and the model of the perfect friendship that he offered to all. Because I come from a corporate environment, and the time is going on, I'll finish soon. And there, they called the systems and computers as assets and the people as resources. It bugged me to no end. When I came to Ananda, people are more important than things, Swamiji's motto. So that is what attracts all the people, and people are coming. So many are coming now to serve part-time at the centers, full-time at the centers, and it is such a joy to serve with all the leaders of the centers, to serve in so many ways, from watering the gardens to helping with the classes. So there's such an opportunity coming up in India for all people to include themselves in any way possible in all of the centers, and infinite opportunities abound. So I'm so happy to be part of this.
Thank you, Prasanna. I think my time is now at starting out in the negative. But I just wanted to add a few thoughts. One is just on I also have an affinity for numbers like Gaurav. And so we have, we might in the different centers do a public talk just sort of with a low amount of fuss, and easily 150 to 200 people will come. I mean, there's that level of interest, and there's that level of, it's a small percentage of the population, but it's a big population. And so that's one part of it. Another is that, for example, in one of our centers, once a month there's level one classes, and there are 30 to 50 people taking the Learn to Meditate class each month. And that, of course, filters through the other classes into Kriya initiation. There may be anywhere from 7 to, I think there's been as many as 35 new Kriya bonds in a given initiation. And again, this is sometimes when the previous initiation was 2 months ago. So there's a large numbers compared to what we're used to in America. But on the other hand, Master's family members come one at a time. Just like Jayaji was saying, one soul comes and gives their life to this work, and then the work expands, just as you've seen all these great souls here today. Also, just, I know it's obvious, but just to say it out loud, it isn't as if we are learning how to present Master's teachings to people in a new country to help them understand to join this work. It is rather that we are just visiting a new country, discovering Master's children who were already there waiting, saying, "What took you so long to get here?" And then to scoop them up and, as Prasanna said, join the family. And that's how it is everywhere. One way you can tell is the instant affinity so many have had in coming here and meeting one another. Just feeling that connection, even across a language barrier. Just knowing, I know you from a past life, I know you from this life, because our souls are together as children of our one Father. So, thank you.
Greetings. Namaste. My name is Nayaswami Devarshi. You can tell I'm becoming Indian because I have a cell phone in my hands at all times. I never even owned a cell phone before I moved to India. A few years ago, Jyotishji Deviji asked me to move to Pune from Gurgaon and start to guide and direct the Ananda monks and to form a monastery, reform a monastery. And we worked there in Pune for a couple of years, and it was a struggle being in a city with a very busy work around us, with monks living in apartments here and there. And I was just struggling with how to make this next step and do what Swamiji wanted. And so I came across something that he wrote in about 1960. He wrote a booklet when he was an SRF. And this was basically the lifestyle, the guidelines, the approach, the emphasis for the monastery that he was directing and forming at that time. And in 2005, he shared that booklet, and he wrote, "This booklet still is very, very important to me. When the timing is right, I would like Ananda to adopt these principles." And so I read this about a year and a half ago, and I realized that the timing was right. Maybe we were finally ready for it, all the other doors were opening. And so we formed a new monastery. We moved exactly 1 year ago last Friday to Khandala, which is a hill station halfway between Pune and Mumbai, 7 of us monks. And what we did was we started forming a monastery based on what Swamiji always wanted for Ananda monks, but we were never able to do because of just various circumstances. And he was very specific, from the daily schedule to the lifestyle to the work that we were doing, but all of it based on a very deep, strong inner life. In 2000 and... I have to open this again. Where did that go? In 2000 and... Sorry. I'm still trying to become Indian and use a cell phone. He wanted Ananda monasteries to be focused on an inner life, which we never had really the full possibility. And this is what he wrote. He said in 1950s, he wrote a letter to his fellow monks and nuns. And he wrote, "Centuries ago, St. John of the Cross said words to the effect that one act of divine love, that love which is the fruit of deep meditation, is of greater value to the church than the combined activities of dedicated but unmeditative monks, priests, and nuns. Ah, my brothers and sisters, would it not be wonderful if more of us were on fire with love for God? How many weep for the Divine Mother as Master wept when he was a boy? Our greatest work in life should be to express that divine yearning, that love." This is what he wrote to his brother and sister monks and nuns. Now, if it just ended there, there's more. Our leaders would probably be concerned that these monks are just wandering around in bliss all the time and not getting anything done. But then he adds, I'm trying to reassure Jayaji here. But the very next sentence he says, and it's something that we have found to be true. He says, "When we can reflect it, this divine love, we shall be able to work 10 times as hard and 100 times as effectively as we do when we draw only on our own scanty powers." And so this has been what the Ananda Monastery has been doing, because we also have very active seva service, and we've been able to accomplish, I don't know, about 10 times and 100 times more than we were when we were in Pune, but many, many, many times more successful, prosperous, sharing the teachings, doing things that were never possible, except now that we have this very deep, focused inner life. Swamiji, the very specific things that he said, he wanted monks to have 3 meditations a day, group meditations a day, hours of meditation a day, that being the basis and the foundation, all meals in silence, a deep inner life, very strong service, monks serving only with other monks. And so during the week, this is what we do. We have a very, it's almost a rigid schedule because it's so fixed, but it's so amazingly joyful. There's just so much joy. One of the monks in SRF told me once that when Kriyananda was here, the halls rocked with laughter. And Kriyananda is here because the halls are rocking with laughter here, and they are at our monastery up there in Khandala, which is, you know, again, a very remote, relatively remote area. But we work with online teaching, online classes, over 1,000 students in the last year and a half. We're just starting to bring people to Kriya initiation. We've brought something like 33 people to Kriya initiation finally, because we've been working this last year at that. But there will be many, many hundreds more. The Ananda Kriya Sangha, we're leading retreats now. We just led really the most successful retreat at the Pune Ashram since Swami left the body, with the most people and a great deal of joy. We led the Khandala retreat and organized it, that Jyotishji and Deviji did that you saw in the video. Many other things that we were doing. And the other thing is that just there's an amazing sense of harmony, joy, cooperation, deep love for God that we're talking about here. I have to say that in all my years of Ananda, at Ananda, which is 40 plus years, I haven't seen such a depth and breadth of harmony, cooperation, joy, working together. And my time is getting up. And I think what I'll do is I'll just have Brahmachari Prem Das come up and just say a few words. I'd like all the Khandala monks to stand up here. There's 4 there. There's one there. One more is at our booth down at the Ananda World Market, where we are raising money, selling products to bring all these monks over here. And it's been very successful, thanks to all of your generosity and help. And I'll just have Prem Das come and just say a few words. Thank you.
Hello, namaste. So yesterday I heard one of the acharyas saying this statement: when you want something in the universe and it's not there, then the universe provides it. I think that's what happened here. All the three of the new monks, and when everybody was there, we had that intense desire for that sort of life and to serve. So I think that's a gift from all the masters to us. And I think it's just a starting place and it'll be growing further. Now, little flashback. So I came from Bangalore, and there I had taken Kriya Yoga, Kriya initiation. And I thought, now that I've taken the Kriya technique, and like I've got the key, and we have a jet route. But then at the end of the initiation, they said, now there's something called Kriya Yoga lifestyle. I could not put my even finger on it. Like, I thought it was just 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the evening. I thought it was done. But now they're saying something lifestyle. And now, I'm really glad and blessed so that I'm there at the monastery, that I'm getting more clarity and I'm able to live that lifestyle. Yeah, thanks to the masters again. Okay, thank you.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Brahmachari Jamal. And before I begin, I just want to thank everyone here that this has been a wonderful week together. And honestly, ever since Swamiji left his body, there's been a little hole in my heart, and I've been searching. Where are you? Where are you? But this week has been very healing, and I found him. I found him in all of you. That all of you, every one of you, is representing Swamiji and carrying the torch, carrying his light, so beautifully, and I've never felt so much joy, upliftment in such a long time. So thank you all. So I'm going to use my phone to make sure that I get it all done in 4 minutes, Jayaji. So I'm going to talk about what we're doing online. 2 years ago, I was in Italy, and I was telling people we're shipping books in the mail. We have an advertising genius named Salil. And almost every other day, I'd have to call him up and say, Salil, turn it off, turn it off. So many people would come in that we just couldn't handle it. And we've graduated from shipping books in the mail. Now we have people coming online. Many people here have filmed wonderful videos, and people watch the videos. But these days now, I call Dhyanaji, because so many people come in that actually this 1,000 that we've had, it's actually been since we moved to Khandala, about a year. We've had 1,000 students sign up. So you can think how many students sign up every week. And we need a teacher. Every time 20, 25 students sign up, we need another teacher. So I call Dhyanaji and I say, we need another teacher. And she's trained all of these wonderful teachers all over India, done many meditation teacher training classes. And so we just plug them into this system online, and they guide these students through. And it's really, really working well. We've collected about 18,000 names of people who are interested. Not all of them have signed up yet, the 1,000 names, but we've connected here with Ananda Village, and they're using something called Salesforce, which is a database. We're using that as well. We just had a wonderful meeting with Ananda Europa, with Ananda here at the Village, with Russia, and we're all seeing how we can collaborate together to make this even bigger. I definitely believe that we can, there's 18,000 names in this little database that we have, that we can have 1 million, let's say in 10 years. I know that we can. I set this goal that we'll have 1,000, and I set that in last October, and I said 1 year, and we easily have crossed that 1,000 paying students. So that's really working well. We have a staff of about 25 people helping teach, and a few people just doing administrative help and that type of thing. Very soon we'll be having a retreat up in Delhi. We'll bring all of those teachers, and those teachers are from all over. We even have Karpani, who may be here, from Berkeley, that she's one of our teachers. We have a teacher from Croatia, but most of the teachers are from India. But we're going to bring them all together and have a retreat, and we're going to talk about things on how can we bring this up to the next level. Meaning, we want our students to be the best trained and ready for Kriya. For example, we're hoping that the teachers can ask the students to send a video of themselves energizing. Just they can record themselves, and then the teacher will look at it and say, oh, this little thing needs correcting, this thing looks correcting. That really, by having examinations and having this interaction between the students and teachers, and we're just at the beginning of it, with the ability to have video information go back and forth between the teachers and the students, that we really feel that we can do something wonderful, something bigger than has ever been done before. You know, when I first came into this, I thought that, well, it really needs to be in person. That, what about the magnetism and the eyes and the touch? And it does, but actually we've learned the importance of a little bit of impersonality in this online course that one of our teachers, Vibhaji, that she says, these students, they write all of these questions that they would never ask in person. She's done both kinds of classes. And people get nervous to say, I'm the only one, my mind's wandering during Hong Sa or whatever. But online, they'll just start typing and WhatsApp, and we form all kinds of different groups using all kinds of different mediums, and it's really working. One of the main goals of the home study course is to bring these students into a center, that we're getting people from all over the world, honestly, but it's concentrated in India, and they're willing to get on the plane and get on the train or do whatever it takes because they're getting so much joy that they are coming and they come to the center, and then they just want to keep coming back and back again and again to the center. And just a couple more things. I want to say that we also have the monks. We manage the home study course, which is teaching all the classes required to get to Kriya. But we also have the Ananda India Online, and Bara and Shamini are heading that up. And they're doing all kinds of courses, like Jayaji's done a magnetism course. We saw another one up there talking about willpower, many different courses. And we're starting to come together also. And as we all come together teaching all of these different teachings of Master, but the person who takes Kriya, well, now what does he do if he lives really far away? Hopefully he can come visit as much as possible, but he needs all of these different classes that we're offering online in that way. And again, that entire database, once they've gone through as many classes as they want, maybe one day they're interested in meditation and we bring them over to this side. And the more we just keep cooperating like this, the bigger and bigger this is going to get. And the more we cooperate like this worldwide, that this is going to be huge. I really believe that we can reach 1 million people easily. I wasn't going to say this story, but I'll wrap up here quickly. I went home to my earthly family, and my father's just always, what is my son doing with his life? He's just never understood. So I thought this time I'm going to go home and show Dad we're running a successful business and just present it like that. And he'd be like, oh, great, I get it. So I go home and I say, Dad, we've got this business going. We're teaching people meditation online. And he said, I'm taking an online meditation course. And I said, you? What? And just that made me think, this is for the world. That the entire world needs what we have, that they want it. So I'm just going to wrap up with sharing. This is so a student wrote in. This is the type of thing that just keeps me inspired. I won't read the whole thing. I'll just read one paragraph that came in. And she wrote, I can hardly wait. She just graduated from level 2 or something like that. I can hardly wait for the next step, which I am hoping will start very soon. I will continue with my meditation practice and my energization exercises because I truly enjoy doing them. It's the most significant thing I have ever done in all my life. So she wrote with humble gratitude. I say with humble gratitude, thank you. I'll invite up Vineet. He'll talk about the next step, which is inspiring a lifetime. 2 minutes. One. One and a half?
Hello, everyone. My name is Brahmachari Vineet, and following the footsteps of those who have gone before me, I'll follow the phone. So just very briefly, I'm going to go into the next step of the home study course, which is Inspiring a Lifetime of Kriya Yoga. We started an online course just for Kriya Bands about 6 months ago, and the need was, there were many needs, but one primary need was, we had a home study student, he would graduate from his preparation for Kriya Yoga, having taken Kriya Yoga, and he'll come back and do the Kriya Yoga class again. And we would say, well, you've taken Kriya Yoga, and that batch will get over, and then he'll register again for the preparation for Kriya Yoga. And we're like, what's happening here? He's a Kriya Band, he's supposed to practice Kriya Yoga, but we realized we didn't have anything to give to them. So with that being one of the reasons, we started the Inspiring a Lifetime of Kriya Yoga course. And just statistics, because that can be very quick, we have about 320 Kriya Bands on the Inspiring a Lifetime of Kriya Yoga course. And there are times, and we have had some meditations, every Tuesday evening we have meditations, and we have had sometimes more than 100 people, 100 Kriya Bands meditating live on the Kriya Band course. And how was this possible? Which all the leaders and all our friends have shared over here, perfect harmony. I called up all the center leaders and all my friends everywhere, and I said, look, we are starting this Kriya Band course, we want to call people, we want to communicate to them, and we actually used 5 modes of communication. We didn't leave any Kriya Band unturned. We said SMS, WhatsApp, email, announcement at centers, and one more is through your friends. Share it through your friend. If you know about it, share it with your friend. And any center leader, whomever I called, and I would tell, you know, we would like to communicate this, and they would, there was no no for that. There were only 2 options. Either we will do the calling or you will do the calling. That was it. So it was either going to be that we will help you with the calling, or they were just going to do the calling. And we had 320 Kriya Bands. And I'm running out of time already. But other things which we do is the Kriya Band retreats, which Devashriji shared about. And just, I think I'm done. There are a lot of things I can share with, but... Just at the monastery doing these online courses, we think that, oh, it's only 6 monks and how busy can one be? Our morning meetings sometimes start with, and this is what I'm going to end with, we discuss that, oh, there are 6 people. How much is 6 permutations? How much permutations can you have with 6 people? We basically decide our whole day. The first half of the day, we are going to meet, these 3 people are going to meet, Jamal, Vineet, and Devashri. And then we are going to add Premdas to that meeting. And then Premdas removes, and Jamal removes, and Devashri and Vineet are going to have the meeting. And basically, we try to do every possible permutation and combination to keep the course running, to Kriya, keep the Kriya Sangha running, and to keep everyone inspired. Thank you.
Hello everyone, I am Keshava, and Daya and I are directors of our center in New Delhi. And I must say on the subject of online that the last several Kriyas we've had, we've included people who've done the course online. They have been, embarrassing to say, but they have been at least as well prepared as those that we have brought up in person. But our topic today is pilgrimage, because this is one more way that people come to Ananda, but also get deeper. Yoganandaji said that going to the places where great saints have lived, their vibrations are just as strong today as they were when those saints lived in that spot. And if we go with an open heart, if we prepare ourselves through meditation, we can receive those blessings, but we need to prepare, we need to tune into them. And Swamiji gave the example, he said he was in Israel once and in a place where Jesus was, and he said he meditated and like a spiritual archaeologist. Mentally, he went down through layers of history until he could feel the joy of Jesus and his first young disciples that he gathered in that spot. And so when we went to India, when the people who had read the autobiography of a yogi wanted to learn Kriya Yoga, they finally came to Ananda, met the people of the book. Then they wanted to go to some of the places of the book. you know, Yogananda lived in Calcutta. Can we go to where he was? And interestingly, we were the ones to show them to that place. And pilgrimage is a long tradition in India, but certainly not a pilgrimage where you go to meditate, to tune in inwardly. With all of the sacred tradition of India, in reality, in the modern world, very few people actually have a ongoing meditation practice. And we first started going to many of the places of our gurus, every feasible place we could find there where we could meditate as a group, where our gurus live, anything that they did. And then we expanded. People wanted to go on more trips. And so we started seeking any place of spiritual power that was tangible, where we could meditate as a group and go deep. And so we go to Bodh Gaya, where the Buddha was enlightened. We go to Ladakh, as Atman mentioned the other day, with the ancient Tibetan monasteries, to the Sikh Golden Temple in Amritsar, to the ashrams of Ramana Maharshi and Aurobindo in the south. And then also we've continued the tradition of drawing Westerners to India and going to all of the places of our guru. This year, along with Expanding Light, we're leading a pilgrimage to Ladakh, to those ancient monasteries, to Badrinath, where Master said, Babaji lives right now. And it's been very interesting, all of this process. For Indians, a pilgrimage can just be 3 or 4 days over a long weekend. It's easy to get everywhere. And one of the things that it's meant for them is to be able to go as a group, to be able to meditate as a group. It's been so much more powerful than people have told us, oh, I've gone to this place before on my own or with my family, but it was never like this. I never had this kind of an experience. And so many people, some of the pilgrimages are physically challenging. When we go to the cave where Lahiri Mahashaya received Kriya initiation from Babaji for the first time, it's quite a hike going up. And people in their 80s would write to us, people with physical challenges. We'd explain very patiently. We'd send them a video of just what the trail looked like. And they said, I don't care. It doesn't matter if I get to the top or not. Babaji is calling me. I have to come. One elderly man, his knees were shattered. And he said, all the way up to the top, he chanted, Om Babaji, Om Babaji. He never expected to get to the top at all. And we allow people a long time. He was in the first group at the top. And let me have Daya share another aspect of the pilgrimages, and then I'll finish with a thought too. Okay. Go ahead.
I think one of the most important parts of leading pilgrimages is in India is that Indians get a chance to get away from their daily lives and experience community. We don't have a physical community in New Delhi, a national capital region. They come on Sundays and classes, and there's of course a lot of volunteers that have a more community feeling, but most people maybe can come for a satsang or maybe not. And so when they can take 3, 4 days, maybe a week out for a pilgrimage, and we meditate together, have our meals together, you know, just travel in joyful harmony together, by the end of it, when we have our sharing circle, people are just crying, and they get the experience of spiritual family. And so for me, that's really also one of the most important parts of pilgrimage in India.
So Amici said that the real pilgrimage is within. And that going to a holy place, having those blessings, if we hold those blessings in our heart, then they're always available to us, and we can have that, follow that inner pilgrimage.
I'm just telling one more story. And this is really funny. When we go up to Babaji's cave, we never have less than 44 people because they're always full. We have two buses. So, but we take the train on the way there and we take the train on the way back. And it's usually Keshava and I and 42 Indians. And so it's very interesting when we get onto the train and we're telling people where to sit and, you know, this and that. And and they just kind of, other Indians in the train look at it, just like, you're following those two? Just go, on a pilgrimage in India? And so they're always quite surprised.
Good evening, I'm Hari. Master has blessed me with an opportunity to live and serve with Dayan Keshava in New Delhi. I'm the center assistant there, along with Deepika and Chika. We all have a great time serving Master. And today I'm here on behalf of Ananda Sangha Publications in India. Sangeeta ji leads it. And we all know how the importance of Swamiji's book, how inspiring they are, and he has covered every aspect of life, education or astrology, relationship, business, everything. So I'm not going to go into that, except that Ananda Sangha India, Ananda Publications India has an additional responsibility. If you want to feel that, tune into that responsibility, just imagine there are 50 states in the United States, right? So assume that every state speaks, they have their own language. Somebody from Seattle cannot talk with somebody from Texas because they have different languages, how it would be. So similarly in India, we have a lot of languages. There are 122 spoken languages and 29 official languages. So it is our responsibility to reach out to all the people, non-English speaking people, and even the English people who can read and write English. When they like to contemplate on spiritual subjects, they like to use, they think in their mother tongue. So it's important that we give Swami's writings in their mother tongue. So I'd like to share with you how far we have reached in that. Autobiography of a Yogi now is available in Hindi, Punjabi, Marathi, and Kannada. Lessons in Meditation is also available in Hindi, Tamil, Marathi, and Gujarati.
Tamil is there.
Yeah, Tamil is there. I read it.
What is your mother
tongue? Tamil. And Handbook of Discipleship, again Hindi and Tamil. And Essence of Bhagavad Gita, Conversations with Yogananda, New Path, Biography of Yogananda, and Demystifying Patanjali have all been translated into Hindi. And currently, Affirmations for Self-Healing is also available in Hindi and Tamil. Gujarati and Marathi languages are in progress. And the recent milestone for the Ananda India Publications is releasing Autobiography of Yogi in Braille. When Sangeeta ji announced this project to me, I asked her, like, why do that? I mean, we have audio books. Swamiji has read it out. And we can, you know, people who are visually challenged can hear Swami's voice and can go through the book. She turned to me and said, because the book has Master's vibrations. What are you asking? And when the book was printed and it was released, there were all these projects which I just read out to you. Like if there is a work happening in Tamil, then Ananda Chennai, Dharmarajan and Dharmini, they encourage their people in their center to edit, tune into Master, tune into Swamiji, and translate. And it's called verbatim translation, word to word, not flat translation. We shouldn't lose that inspiration. The translation shouldn't lose the inspiration. And when the books in Braille was released, Dhanaji was there to chant Om, and she touched one book and she said,
I'm not able to move away from that book. This book is so dear. And she could feel the vibration, and then I could relate to the fact why the Braille books are needed. So, thank you.
Well, we did pretty good. I would like to ask Pia also very dearly, just a few words, just a few words. No, yes, I'm going to ask her to come up. Pia is a very, many of you have met Pia and know of Pia, but she's been a very dear friend, and she is the inspirational energy upon what we're building as our next project, which is the Ananda Institute in India. And I'd like to say a few, just a few, as much as you can take as much time as all these.
Namaskar, I'm Pia. First, I want to say it would not be an Indian satsang if we were running on time. So honestly, and if there were not so many people speaking. I think all of you know India is the biggest democracy in the world, and I think we are proof of that today. So please let it not come as a shock. Secondly, I know we are very short on time, and Dhyana ji has told me I speak too much. I talk too much. I didn't think I did, but I guess I do. So I will try and keep it as short as possible. What I really want to say is that I'm actually just going to speak of perhaps going forward from what was said in the morning, the role of Master and Swamiji, and I'm going to add Babaji in consciousness and in world consciousness. That really has been and is the energy that I am feeling inspired with and trying to move forward with everyone here in this room. And I also want to say that before I even speak a few words on this, that all that and any inspiration and thought process that I'm putting forward today is only possible and is a culmination of A, Ananda's 50 years, because actually Ananda here is a living laboratory. From hearing the inspirational talks of how it all started, to David's talk on the role of music in changing consciousness, to Dr. Michelle's talk, the expressions are really infinite, but the thing is they're not theoretical. Everyone here has lived them and is practicing them, and because they have been doing so, there is a power that they can go and teach them. And as I said, it's a living laboratory. Secondly, I would also like to say, and I think everyone here has heard it before me today, that India in the last 15, 16 years has been led by the pioneers of Ananda. And the pioneers of Ananda have really been the pioneers in India, have been like the pioneers were there in Ananda 50 years ago. They have paved the way for now a new expression. But lots of work went in. They had many constraints. It was difficult to open centers. They traveled around. I mean, they put in huge amounts of energy and work. Dhyanaji, Jayaji, Dharmaraja and Nirmala at an earlier time, Swamiji himself, all of you here. Without that, it would not have been possible. But I think given all that, we are at a certain point today where we can take these teachings out to a larger audience. And that is in keeping with what was Babaji's mission. Babaji's mission was to change world consciousness and to change mass consciousness by uniting East and West. And if we stay true to that, there is so much in the world, so many in the world that can be touched by these teachings, and again touched in a way and form that they can relate to. And that, I think, is the work that needs to be done. And why India? I'll say the reason for why this should be, is being done in India, or is being thought through in India, is because what Dharmarajan summed up so well yesterday, actually. He said that everyone in India meditates, knows yoga, or thinks they know yoga. You know, it's all sort of part of our DNA in our language, even though we may not know it. But the thing is, they all want to be taught how to do it properly. They are receptive, they are open, in a way perhaps the West may not be, but they want the technique and they want the instruction. So it's ripe for that in a certain sense. I'll just touch upon briefly the genesis of this. Well, I'll say new expressions was the Vrindavan work, which was the establishment of the Paramahansa Yogananda Charitable Trust. I won't go into it in detail, except to say that It started small, but it's a reasonable size work today. We have about 120 widows in 4 care homes that we look after. We have another 2,700 whom we look after on a monthly basis, whether it's to take care of their medical needs, give them the love they've never had, give them monthly ration, look after, give them free treatment in the hospital. We also have a relationship with the Ramakrishna Mission. For those of you who don't know, that's Swami Vivekananda's organization. They run a charitable hospital there. We enable them to provide free medical care to all the widows and poor people in Vrindavan. And to date, must have taken care of about 80, 90,000 people and maybe done about 30,000 free surgeries. But in all this, the guiding principle, again, is that we are looking after the material welfare of these elderly ladies who have nowhere else to go, who are destitute, who've been abandoned by their families, only as a way to change their consciousness. Only when they're materially comfortable can we change their consciousness so they can find God. I just want to share a story of what one of these widows said to me the first time that I went there. And there was this lady in this terrible condition. And I, you know, I gave her a blanket and I asked her where she's from. And she accepted it very graciously, but very not in a way that she was bowing down to me. And she told me where she's from. And then she said, well, thank you, but no thank you, because you are here for your own karma. You are giving this to me because you think you'll get better karma, which you will. And I am here because I did something very bad in my last life. So I have to deal with my bad karma. So it's an exchange that benefits both of us. And I was amazed, and that really sums up the work for me, you know, that it's the dignity in every situation and the learning that you have from the people that you're serving. You all have spent a lifetime serving this community, serving yourself, serving God through that. This is just an expression of taking the service to another group of people and hopefully to a larger group. I'm going to end with three sentences, I will try, on the new expression that is being thought through. And that again comes in with, I would like to think, fulfilling Babaji's mission, which is really an establishment of a yogic university, which is what Paramahansa Yogananda wrote about in the 1920s. Swami Kriyananda has also written about it extensively. And their wish, desire, or let's say what they wanted to do as part of their vision and mission was to set up a yogic university, which would really be teaching courses, teaching curriculum, which would lead to the development of an integrated person. Paramahansa Yogananda always spoke about the need to create an integrated person and to give a person all that he needs to lead that integrated life. In keeping with that, the thought process there would really be to create a system, a complete system for non-devotees, which is being created. Jyotishi Deviji will give the first course in September, and that will be bringing in how to meditate along with how to live. And there the Gita will be used as a manual for how to live, which is what Master did, Paramahansa Yogananda did in his explanation of the Gita. Jyotishi Deviji have taken it further and developed a system of 9 Navratnas, which show the Gita as a linear progression and a way of living. Going beyond that, this system or the courses the institute will offer will be for all walks of society. So I really hope, and I was very inspired by the talks yesterday, that we can have courses on how to change consciousness through music, through art. We will be working with colleges in India to embed a curriculum there for credit, like Yale University has happiness course based on our principles. We are now looking at working with a few schools in India where we will try and take the EFL curriculum. We will also try and, through this institute, create courses for all levels of society, whether it's for housewives, whether it's for leaders, taking into account what was said in the morning again, was really how do you change society? How do you transform the world? Not through politics, not through government, not through institutions, but through people. So can we take our principles and can we then go to the village level in India, the village leaders, can we go to the government level in India, and individual by individual, soul by soul, impart to them what it takes to become a better human being so they can make the world a better place. So I know I've taken up lots of time and I've gone from the astral to the casual, and I hope it's not flights of fancy. And the only reason it won't be flights of fancy, I again want to end by saying what Jyotishi said in the morning, that diversity is an enemy. United, we will take our master's teachings forward in the way they need to be. And united means the India and America and Italy and all over the world, we need to come together. India is just a place where perhaps people will be more receptive to this, but what will power it is all of you who have lived it for 50 years. And I really hope in the next phase we will see that happening. Namaskar. Thank you.
Thank you, Pia. That's a rousing way to bring our afternoon satsang to a conclusion. But I would be remiss if I did not at least introduce one further person who's been very integral to the development and to the growth of Ananda India, and that's Daljit Singh. And I just introduce yourself, because Daljit is integral to everything that we've been doing. He's one of our trustees. He was started out, I believe, just as a neighbor of Swami when we first went to Gurgaon, and he's one of our teachers. And in all aspects of what we do organizationally in India, Daljit is there somewhere, maintaining a steady hand to keep us on course. So Daljit, please, just a few words.
So, thank you. Thank you very much. First of all, it's an honor to be here amongst all of you, amongst my brothers and sisters. I've been coming here for many years, and it never fails to exceed expectations. So thank you for that. And I think the 50th anniversary is a perfect backdrop for us to rethink the way Ananda India is actually going to develop. Jiaji was very, he mentioned the word hectic in connection with Italy and India. I think what he really wanted to say was chaotic, you know? So we do grow up in such an environment, but I think we are masters at managing chaos, actually, in some ways. And if there's no chaos, life would be very different. And I was just thinking, well, you said that if the USA had 3.6 billion people on its soil, it would feel like India. And it currently has only 300 million people. So I think I'm delighted to be of whatever service I can be to Ananda. I've been reasonably busy in the corporate world till 31st of March. And finally, I took the plunge, and I'm no longer full-time engaged there. And I think all my energies are now devoted largely to the work that Ananda is doing. I'm working very closely with Pia, with Dhyanaji, with Jayaji, and many of you out here. And of course with Jyotishji and Deviji, in trying to rethink Ananda India for the future. I do have a vast amount of corporate experience, and I think I'm bringing it to play in the discussions that we have, and I do hope that the efforts will not go in vain, and that whatever Swamiji envisioned for India will actually, play out in coming years. So I am grateful for this opportunity to talk to you. And I do want to thank all our, there are many teachers whom I learned from, starting with Shivaniji, Keshav, of course, Dhyanaji also cracks the whip in between. She is the ultimate one, and many others. And I'm truly grateful for all the inspiration that all of you have provided, thank you very much.
With that, I'm going to conclude, but I would remind you that we have 30 to 40 pilgrims from India who have accompanied us here to this great event, and all of them would be happy to be able to share with you, answer your questions, and I do hope that each of you here, those of you who have come from Italy, those of you who are here as Americans, will have a chance to be able to meet one or two and make friendships. And I've asked specifically also all of those of you who have come from India, you need to go back with a few friends from these other countries where our centers are growing in Europe and in the United States, and make those connections. And it is friendship, one-on-one, that keeps us together, knowing one another and working together. And this truly is what makes many hands. that allow us to be able to make many miracles. So, Dionysio, did you want to say a few things out? Then why don't you make it to the conclusion? Now that you're here.
I had a half hour talk.
So you conclude it.
I would like everybody who's here from Ananda, India, to stand and just come up to the front, facing out. And then everybody else, please stand and we'll close. Yeah, please just face out and let's just visualize Master's blessings through Ananda worldwide, flowing into Ananda, India, all the centers, all the areas of activity that we've heard about today, that Master's and Babaji's will and Swamiji's guidance be with us in every area. Jyotish and Deviji's guidance and help, let it be there to continue this great work of Ananda, India. Let's rub our hands together. And please, everyone out in the audience, send your blessings through these souls in front to Ananda, India's work. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Thank you all.